Great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our morning show get together today from WRCO during the first half, we're talking about the great things happening at Weston Schools, Silver Eagle Country, and Molly Cass representing the district is here today. Good morning, Molly. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you.
You take over for Gary Siftestad, who retired this summer. So the torch has been passed. Could you talk about Gary for us?
Yeah, Gary was the principal. He was hired in 2019-20, and then he took over as superintendent in 2020. And so he's been the superintendent for the past 4 or 5 years. And the work that he's done over the past 4 or 5 years has really set me up in a good place to take to the next level of what I'll be working on. He laid the foundation for a lot of the work that I'm doing. You know, it's when you have a school district, it's, you know, you can't do like the Chip and Joanna Gaines thing where you come in and you fix everything at once, everyone's out of the building, and 6-8 weeks later you come into a beautifully completely done house. You have to work on things a little bit at a time. Also, while you're working, there's people in there. You know, we have students, we have staff, you have changing administration, changing staff, you have changing legislation, all these things. And so it's hard. And he did a lot of work on our foundation. So he worked on our pay scale, getting that where it should be so that we can attract and retain teachers, quality teachers. He worked on the building. The building has been updated a lot over the past 5 years. It looks like a different place than it did 6 years ago. And he put in all of that work along with retaining, working on retaining administration as well. Because before he came in, we had changeover in our superintendent or principal roles every 2 years for several years. And it's hard to get any motivation and build anything to move forward when you have that constant turnover. So he had all that in place. And so, like I told staff last week at in-service, he worked on the foundation, the walls, the shell of the building, the roof, and now I'm going to come in and I'm going to do the plumbing and the heating systems and the electrical because I'm a system person. So I couldn't come in and do the improvement on those systems if it wasn't for the work that he had already done. So he set me up in a really good place to be able to come in and take it to the next level.
Restructure is one of the things you're focused on. Could you talk about that, Molly, and what you're focusing on?
Sure. We had a 4-person administrative team when Gary was there, and we had a district administrator, principal, elementary principal, Jason Meyer, our director of business services, Loretta Pickle, and then myself. I was the director of curriculum, instruction, and special education. And I was in that role for, I believe it was 5 years is where I had that. And since that time, we've had some declining enrollment when we do not have the needs that we had 5 years ago. So we had to restructure what we were doing. So we are now a 3-person administration team. Our leadership team is Jason Meyer, who's our elementary principal, and he's also the 7th through 12th grade dean of students. That role for him is he's really good at positive behavior support and working on those preventative strategies to avoid behavior issues, and having him really help me at the high school level because I also have a dual role. I'm the district administrator and the 7th through 12th principal. So him and I can work together to address some of those things. And then we also have Loretta Pickle. She's the director of business services, but she will be working with our transportation, building and grounds, the athletic piece, and food services, and the business office. So those are her big areas that she'll have some more oversight on, which are areas that give her a little bit more over management experience, and something that those are things that she's really good at as well and enjoys doing. So we divided up the pot of different things that we needed to do a little bit differently.
You mentioned athletics. You're currently co-oping with a couple of area schools, aren't you?
Yes, our current football co-op is with Waniwok, and we have that for this year and the following year for sure. And then we also co-op with Ithaca for wrestling. We've had that co-op, I believe. We were looking at this information the other night. I believe it was 2009-10 is when we started that co-op, which has been pretty successful. And then we've co-oped for several years with Ithaca for track and field. So those are the current co-ops that we have.
And I know there are some possibilities in the future, and possibly even softball. I heard possibly that's sound down the road too, isn't it?
Yep, there's some possibilities for that. We're still talking. And so I should have more information on that in October.
October is kind of a big month, and there is a possibility of Weston going to referendum by next year. Is that correct?
Yes, April. And so in October, we will be looking at our budget model and meeting with the director of business services and looking at our budget and what we need to be looking at for that. And so then after that, we will have to make some decisions with our board and see what direction we'll be going with that.
Okay. So we'll have more info on that a little bit later. Yeah. Well, school days start, I guess, Tuesday. You're like most area districts getting ready. Are you excited for the start of school year, Molly?
Yeah, I'm really excited. This is something that, for me, working at Weston in this role is something I've wanted for a very long time. And, you know, for me, it's like a dream come true because I got to do what I was hoping to, where I was hoping to, and not everybody gets that luxury, you know. So I tell myself every morning on my way to work, I'm like, I can't believe I actually get paid to do the things I do. And that's when you know you're doing the right thing because you love it. So I'm very excited about this school year because it's been something I've waited for some time. So we're putting together our plans. We're not going to have your traditional first day. We're going to do some adjustments to go over some of the new procedures with some of our students. You know, we're a one building. K through seniors in high school are all in one building. So we're going to have some changing procedures that we need to go over with the students. So we'll have an alternate schedule on that first day with them so that we can review that, because one of the things our staff worked on this summer, our junior high and high school staff, there were some areas that they wanted some consistency across the board throughout all the classrooms. And so we really worked together to come up with some common grading procedures and how to manage cell phones and attendance and all of those things. And we did it with getting the input from staff and students and parents. So, you know, we've been getting ready since July 1st.
Oh, wow. Logistically, all of those things with everybody in one building, too, you have to kind of figure out lunch times and phys ed times. And I'm guessing that's a pretty big piece of the puzzle to put together, isn't it?
It is. But luckily for us, we also have, you know, your specials teachers, your art, your music. We have one music teacher and one art teacher that are they teach 4K to 12th grade. And having a schedule that is consistent for the kids without you know, messing up the flow of the building, it's hard. So with, you know, changing for a teacher to come in and teach 4K, and then the next class have juniors and seniors, and then go back to kindergarten, that's a big switch in a short amount of time. So over the years, we've developed a pretty good schedule where after our lunchtime is when those specials occur, and we have a rotation for those. And we've developed those, I want to say, 6-7 years ago. And so that's worked well for us, and we continue with that. But yeah, there's a lot of adjustments when you have to put it all together, but it's like a puzzle. It's like a big puzzle, and it's kind of fun to try and figure out where everything fits.
So the start of the school year is Tuesday. Any adjustments to hours or anything like that, Molly?
Our school hours are from 7:50 to 3:20, but we will be starting, our elementary students will start at 8. Everyone comes to the building at 7:30 is once they can get into the building, because we, you know, share buses and everything. The kids will come in, and then the elementary students will have a morning recess time before they start at 8, but our junior high and high school students will be starting right at 7:50. So they all have to be on time and be prompt. And then the end of the day is 3:20, but we are releasing our elementary students at 3:10. And the reason for that is we want our students that are picked up by parents to be able to get out of the building and hopefully off the property outside of the parking lot before the high school students are released, and then also when the buses go, so that we have a steady stream of traffic instead of everybody trying to leave at once. It gets kind of congested.
I'll bet it is. Do you have someone actually out there directing traffic and kind of making sure everybody's going where they need to go?
Yeah, we do. We've also put out several videos. I should say we, Mr. Meyer, Jason Meyer, our elementary principal, he enjoys making videos on how to do things, which are pretty helpful for everyone, because we also change in our school. We have this bus lane, and what we're going to do at the end of the day is we want teachers parking in one row, and it's the row next to the bus lane. And the reason for that is so that parents aren't parking in there and there's no traffic in that lane. And then at the end of the day, we will have that lane barricaded off except for buses, so that nobody's driving down that bus lane, because our kids that are picked up by parents, they have to walk across that bus lane. And so we want to make sure that no one's driving down it. And we have separate sections then for parents to park, to pick up and move out with their kids. So, and we will have some people kind of guiding traffic those first few days, and it won't take much, I'm sure, but just a little bit new so we can be a little bit safer. It's nerve-wracking seeing so many people going in so many different directions in that parking lot at the end of the day.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I can see why you can put those in place. What about new staff this year? Do you have new staff members at Weston?
Yes, we do. We have our new 4K teacher, Val Thompson, retired after, I'm going to say the wrong number, over 30 years. She retired last year, and we were fortunate to replace her with Amy Middlestead, who's from Reedsburg. Our third grade teacher this year is Mandy Fuller. We were fortunate over the past couple of years. Mandy was one of our substitute teachers, and she was also one of our interns last year. She interned in third grade, and so she is our third grade teacher. And then we got Bailey Miller in fourth grade. And so we're pretty excited to have them, the new staff, on. And then our previous third grade teacher has moved to sixth grade. So Stephanie Vick is new in sixth grade, but she is not new to Weston. We also hired a new paraprofessional, Lindsay Carley. And so we just hired her last week. So we're pretty excited for our new staff. We have good, we are always able to hire really good staff. And I was really glad to see that continue.
That is a changing of the guard, too, in the elementary. Val Thompson was on this past summer, you know, as we got word that she was retiring after an award-winning career. That was a pretty good way to finish it out. What was that like at Weston when you had the assembly and surprised her with that Teacher of the Year honor?
It was pretty exciting. You know, everyone was there, and she had no idea. You know, and Jason Meyer, our elementary principal and dean, he likes to plan those things, so I was pretty much on the fringes of just making sure to be there and where I had to be, but it was a nice celebration. It was a good honor for her, because she has been a consistent, stable person in our district for so long, and she's been great with our students. I have told her the past 2 years, because we knew when she was retiring, how much she impressed me, because we've had a new literacy initiative that we've been working on for the past 4 or 5 years. We've been working on it. And I've never worked with a teacher that came in and their last 2 years of teaching and was willing and did change what she was doing and changed her practices to follow what we were doing. And she never said, I'm not doing that because I'm not going to be here next year. She never did that. So she was really good to work with that way. And at the end, she had always impressed me with what she has been able to do with our kids and the connections she has. But at the end, that was for me one of the biggest things that stuck with me about her and her character, that she did what was best for the team to keep the kids learning and doing the pieces that we were implementing, because what she teaches in 4K affects them for the rest of their education. And when she can teach those pieces in 4K, it makes it that much easier in kindergarten, and she was a total team player. So very impressive.
Your new staff, you mentioned a few of those names I recognize, and some of them just out of college, you know, bringing new ideas and things like that. And so that's exciting, kind of turning the page and getting onto a new generation then.
Yep. Yeah, we have Amanda Fuller and Bailey Miller are both right out of school. So they are local. They're nearby. So that's good too, because that's one of the things that's difficult for us is our location, because we're not really close to anywhere. I mean, we're 20 to 30 minutes from Richland Center and maybe 20 to 30 from Reedsburg, and it's all rural, and it's hard to hire because it takes time to get wherever you're going, and there's no big community that we can pull from to get teachers. So it's great when there's local people that are in education that we can get in our building.
You recently conducted some workshops. Yes. Could you talk about those?
So I started officially July 1st, and the first thing I did was bring in my leadership team. Like I talked about, Jason Meyer and Loretta Pickle. And we sat down for the day. We talked about what was important to us. We worked on mission, vision for us, some goals, the things we wanted to work on for the year. And our big thing that our team, we even talked about our team name, like, what, you know, are we administration? What is it? And Loretta's like, I want us, we're the leadership team, because it's more than just having an administrative title. We need to lead people. And so our role is leadership. And working on efficiency is something that's important to all of us. So that's driving all the work that we're doing. And then the next day, I started working with the staff. I put out a staff survey about what they believe and important pieces for developing our vision and some different and mission. And we had multiple days where we worked on that. So we're not completed yet, but we did get to a point where we've developed our working norms. We've developed our vision. It's a good vision statement that encapsulates everything that everybody brought to the table. And we're starting to work on areas of focus and then our goals. And our goals, the goals are around engagement. You know, we want our kids engaged, and we want them engaged with each other, with the community, and with their academics. So, and once they started working on this, then it was many hours that we went through this. it was a lot of work, but we still have work to do, but it was really helpful in driving what we're going to do. And it's not a one-year plan. It's a multi-year plan now. So, and it gives us direction on where we're going to go. So it was a lot of fun. I enjoy, because it's something that I had been preparing for 9 years, that I had known if I got in a role like this, this was the first piece that I was going to do. And then the other workshops that I did was with our junior high and high school staff. And it was around grading procedures and discipline procedures. And how I did that is I sent a survey to students, to parents, and to staff, asking some different questions about, and they were all the same questions, about like what they would like to see in grading procedures. And when we went through that process, we brought it the surveys back, and what I did is I had staff in small groups look at the data. You know, what do the students want, what do the parents want, and what do staff want? And then we looked, what are some commonalities? And everyone wanted something consistent. And so we developed some consistent procedures to use for grading. And we did the same thing with our attendance, I think, and cell phones. And the discipline. The discipline was a big one, because we wanted to give teachers tools what to do when something happens. There's teacher managed behaviors, and then there's administration handled behaviors. And what when a teacher has to handle it, what do they do? And so we developed together what they can do, and they have a pretty good flow chart that we all developed together. So it was a lot of work again, but it was good work, and it was something that everyone has buy-in. Mm-hmm. So it was a good process, and it was a good activity to really bind the team together, too.
We've talked in this program a lot about Weston's FFA, and that's a real proud program there. And I'm guessing they have some goals and some things coming up this year, too, don't they?
They do. They have the schedule. I just got that from Mrs. Bowen. I got to remember, she's not Miss Bailey anymore. She's Mrs. Bowen. She got married over the summer. And they do have, you know, with our with homecoming week, there is the pork feed. And then after that, in I think in February is the FFA week. But I don't have that calendar in front of me or memorize what dates of that. But they, she has a lot going on with those kids.
Definitely. And you mentioned homecoming, Molly, and you're an alumnus yourself, right? From Weston Schools?
Nope.
Or no?
I thought I'm Richland Center.
Oh, you're Richland Center. Okay.
Richland Center. Yeah.
I'm mistaken then.
Yep. I'm from Richland Center.
But your ties with Weston go back quite a few years.
10 years, yes.
10 years, right. Yep. So homecoming's a pretty special time.
Yep. And the fun thing about homecoming is before I worked at Weston, I was teaching in Madison in an alternative to expulsion, and I was so excited to work in a regular school. And I remember coming in and on homecoming week, it was so exciting because the kids were excited about homecoming, and the kids were wearing letter jackets. And I'm like, I haven't seen a kid wear a letter jacket in years. And it was like stepping back in time. So it's a really exciting time for our kids and staff, too. I sometimes think that homecoming is almost sometimes more for the adults, maybe, because it just brings back so many memories of good times that you want to make sure that your students and your kids, when you have them, have those good memories that you did of homecoming. You know, it's something to remember. So,
yeah. Supposed to be about the alumni, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And that is coming up early October, I understand?
Yep, October 7th through the 11th.
Okay. And they have the parade. Is it in Cazenovia this year?
I believe, yes, the parade is in Cazenovia this year at 2:30. We just talked about this the other day. And the football game is on Friday night this year. In past years, it's been on Saturday, I think. So this year, it's on Friday night. And before that, we'll have the pork feed. And I do believe before that will be the distinguished alumni will be awarded that night, too, I believe.
I know Weston has a real active alumni association as well, so they'll probably be getting that word out.
The Silver Eagle Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. Anything else you'd like to add about the year, the upcoming school year, Molly?
Well, just really excited to get started with kids in the building. You know, that's always a fun time to get back, you know, all the work that we put in over the summer, because it is a lot of work. And I don't know if everyone realizes how much in such a short time between June and everybody coming back in August, what little time there is to do the amount of work you have to do. And then this year, with restructuring things, it really made a, you know, we were very busy, because not only did I restructure the leadership team, when we did that, there was some support that was restructured too. So our administrative assistants switched offices. And so we had lots of changes. So we did a lot of work to get everything where we were, because we had our staff in last week. So we do our staff in service the week before.
Oh, okay.
So that this week people don't have to be there, but they can, and they have a little bit of time from in service until students start to be able to be ready in their classrooms. So it's hard, because when you have in service, there's so many things, so much information you do have to share with staff. And they want to be in their classrooms and they want to be ready. And I understand that. I remember that. But there is information that we do have to share with them. So this gives it a little bit more time that they can prepare.
Here's to a good school year.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. And now you'll be back to visit us possibly in October.
All right.
Like.
Thank you very much.
You bet, Molly. Good luck. Molly Cast from the great Weston Silver Eagles joining us here as we get ready for the 2024-25 school year. Welcome back to the Morning Show at WRCO. We shift gears. Thanks to Molly Kasten for being our guest from Weston Schools on the opening part of the program. Now we switch gears. We talk a little sports and wrestling and some rule changes. That news has been up here this summer and a lot of people talking about it. And I think there's maybe a little bit of confusion. That's why we brought in our expert panel here. Kirk Lair and Ken Manning, longtime wrestling guys. Good morning, fellas. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, Phil.
Yeah, good to see you, Phil.
We usually only see you during the winter months, so it's nice to have you here.
Right. By the way, I got to put a plug in for your show here because my mom and I was stopped there for breakfast, and we were listening to Facts of Life. My mom got it right away.
She knew it?
She knew it. Yeah.
Good job, Elma.
I know. She's ready to make a phone call.
We'll have to give her a runner-up prize. So the wrestling rule changes, Kirk, basically it kind of mirrors what the collegiate level has been doing.
Yeah, a lot of the rule changes that we're going to talk about this morning, you know, do mirror where we'll just call it collegiate wrestling has been for the last couple of years. Some of them are going to be some significant changes for actually even not only the athletes and coaches, but for the referees and even the fans. You know, we're just kind of joking around here. You know, now they're instead of a 2-point takedown, it's going to be a 3-point takedown, and some of the officials are trying to figure out how they're going to even signal that, you know, so they don't confuse it with a near fall.
Sure. And so you could go over those. I think maybe one of the biggest things is the out of bounds rule. That's people are kind of still trying to interpret that, aren't they?
That's one thing. I've been out of the sport now, going to be 8 years here shortly, and that is one of the areas where the sport of wrestling, and a lot of sports do, you know, they try to decide what is in inbounds, what is outbounds, you know, and where can you touch and where can you can't touch, you know. And so high school wrestling has been evolving on that the last probably 10 years now, you know, in deciding, you know, is that knee and that this, you know. And even last year they were at the point where it was, you know, it was two supporting points and it could be one from each athlete could be inbounds. It was considered inbounds, you know. And then they've been the debate of what are supporting points. You know, it's obvious when you're on your feet, your feet are your supporting points. But when you get down on the mat, then is it the shoulder? Is it your rear cheek, you know, or is it the side of your leg, you know? So some of the, but now it's, they're going to boil it down. And this is where collegiate wrestling has been for several years too, even to the point where in collegiate wrestling, realistically, all you had to have was your toe hovering above the line and you were considered inbounds. So now it's just going to be 1 point of contact inbounds. And now that comes in, I don't think they've even really decided that. And they'll probably get to a better definition that when they have the coaches clinic and their officials clinic in November. Does that mean it has to be on the mat or does it just have to be in the cylinder?
Yeah. No doubt. Ken, why do you think the changes came about? Just to kind of do what the college is doing?
Or? You know, that's what it looks like, to be honest with you, Phil. And in not only the college, of course, which is just a completely different physical type of sport in my mind, but also mirroring coming off from the Olympics and the freestyle and the Greco. You know, a lot of people, and I get the amateur wrestling magazine, which I just really love watching, you know, reading that and watching the little videos once in a while, things. But there's this comment in there many times of leave the sport of wrestling, the high school sport of wrestling alone, which I'm all for. You know, I mean, it's something unique. It's the catch as catch can. And when you have that sport with USA wrestling, you know, we're adopting, we've got tremendous athletes. They do pretty well. We had a tough time this year with the Olympics, but, you know, overall, we're still a force to be reckoned with as far as world wrestling.
Numbers have been coming up on the high school scene a little bit. And talk about women's wrestling and how that sport has emerged.
You know, that has just exploded. Kirk and I were kind of talking a little bit about that. He's got some great information. I'll let him share that because you did the research, buddy. So, but, you know, you look at it, it more than doubled from year one to year two. I had the chance, the privilege to go and do a taping of the very first girls' state wrestling tournament, which was held at the La Crosse Center. Shelley Keenan helped me with that, and we did a tape delayed broadcast, and that was a ton of fun. And then the next year, you know, all of a sudden they're down at the Kohl Center with twice as many athletes and that.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
WRCO FM 100.9 saying, Happy Labor Day to you. A news update is next.
It's crunch time at A&W. Our double barbecue bacon crunch burgers are made with a tangy sauce, smoky bacon, and crispy fried onions. And believe us, it tastes even better than it sounds. Try one today, only at A&W.
Always made fresh root beer, always at A&W. Your A&W restaurant is located on Highway 61 in Boscobel. Stop by soon and enjoy.
At participating restaurants, prices may vary, tax extra.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
A news update today is sponsored by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies caring for you and about you, and by BL Signs, your full-service sign company. The forecast for today, sunny and nice, a high of 76. Clear tonight, patchy fog, and a low of 48. Sunny and mild Tuesday, and 77 degrees. In Richland Center, we have bottomed out at 45.
BL Signs is a full-service sign design company in Richland Center. They specialize in manufacturing all types of interior and exterior signage for all applications to meet the client's needs. They offer internally lighted extruded aluminum sign cabinets, post and panel signs, non-lighted acrylic letters, LED lighted channel letters of all types and sizes, printed in solid color vinyl lettering, and graphics. Call BL Signs at 647-0149 and see what they can do for you. BL Signs, Richland Center.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz and wife Gwen are campaigning in Milwaukee on this Labor Day. Expect the Minnesota governor to echo remarks made in Boston last week to the International Association of Firefighters convention, including comments about former President Donald Trump. Walz says Trump has promised his friends down at Mar-a-Lago a tax cut while telling workers that wages are too high. He said if she's elected president, Kamala Harris will sign the PRO Act to make it easier for unions to organize and protect the SAFER grant program, which provides additional federal funding for emergency services. Both presidential campaigns continue to focus on Wisconsin. Former President Trump and running mate J.D. Vance were both in the state last week. President Joe Biden will be in southwest Wisconsin on Thursday, his first visit here since dropping out of the race in favor of Vice President Kamala Harris. Four are facing charges after a big drug bust in Marathon County. Wausau Pilot and Review reports that 31-year-old Joshua Lake, 28-year-old Jessica Colby, 31-year-old Mercedes Perkins, and 36-year-old Dustin Brunker have all been indicted in U.S. District Court following the April 15th raid, which turned up 5 pounds of methamphetamine and more than 2 pounds of cocaine. Investigators say Lake is also facing charges for being a convicted felon in possession of a firearm. The group was scheduled to face charges in Marathon County, but those were quickly dismissed once federal investigators took over. A formal indictment came down in July. A rural Viroqua man sustained apparent non-life-threatening injuries Saturday evening in a motorcycle crash. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports the crash at approximately 6:30 in rural Viroqua in the town of Jefferson. The 21-year-old male was operating the motorcycle traveling west on County Road Y, just west of the intersection with County Road B. As he crested a hill, he saw another westbound vehicle slowing down ahead of him while abruptly braking and reducing speed. The motorcyclist lost control, skidded across the roadway, and came to rest along the south edge of the roadway. The operator was transported to Vernon Memorial Healthcare in Viroqua by Gunderson Tri-State Ambulance. The motorcycle sustained severe damage. The operator was identified in the crash as The name was identified as Brenton Ronald Anderson, 21, of the area. The American Red Cross continues to experience a national blood emergency as remnants of Hurricane Debbie and other severe weather events across the country have further complicated efforts to rebuild the nation's blood supply. Weather in recent weeks has added to the summer shortfall in donations by forcing the cancellation of nearly 60 blood drives throughout the country, many of which were caused by Debbie, causing approximately 1,500 life-saving blood products to go uncollected. Annually, severe weather, such as blizzards, tornadoes, floods, and hurricanes, impacts about 90,000 blood donations made to the Red Cross. In Wisconsin, 282 blood drives have been canceled due to weather over the past 10 years, including 36 so far this year. Because blood has a short shelf life and can only come from volunteer blood donors, any disruptions in the ability to collect life-saving blood can have serious consequences for hospitals and patients. Those in unaffected areas are urged to make an appointment to give now. First-time donors and those who give regularly are critical to blood supply recovery. To make an appointment, download the Red Cross Blood Donor app, visit redcrossblood.org, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. That's 1-800-733-2767. In thanks, all who give September 1st through the 15th will receive an exclusive Red Cross t-shirt while supplies last. Protests at UW-Madison this year could be different.
The changes include several new restrictions on where and how loud demonstrations can be. Protesters are prohibited from using bullhorns during finals week and protesting in front of commencement and other core commemorative photo locations, notably the Abraham Lincoln statue on Bascom Hill. Other changes require all protests be 25 feet from building entrances and grants the UW-Madison Police Department the discretion to increase that distance, limits the size of signs to 3 by 3 feet, and generally prohibits the use of amplified sound. Shaw Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
UW Stevens Point Chancellor saying esports could be drawing in more students. UW Stevens Point is touting the esports team. UWSP Chancellor Thomas Gibson says the esports industry has become something that institutions like his can't ignore because if they don't provide the opportunity, another school will. The UW Stevens Point Esports Club competes regionally in 5 different games, including League of Legends and Fortnite. If you went to a Northwoods League baseball game this season, your data might have been stolen. The league, which includes the Wisconsin Woodchucks and the Madison Mallards, announced last week someone had gotten into its online ticket system this summer. The hacker got access to names, emails, phone numbers, and credit card numbers. League officials say they've patched the breach and have notified any affected customers. A couple of reminders today in the community. The Richland Center landfill will be closed to observe the Labor Day holiday, and the Brewer Public Library in Richland Center is closed today as for their Labor Day observation.
Bascom Hill Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy are working hard to give you great service. The pharmacists and staff want you to feel good and to feel good about your pharmacy. You can trust Bascom Hill Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, where local people who know and care about you are always willing to take the time to answer your questions. Experience the difference, safety, and convenience at Bascom Hill Pharmacy and the Center Pharmacy on Orange Street in Richland Center.
Today's forecast calls for a high of 76, sunny and nice conditions, clear tonight, patchy fog, a low of 48, sunny and mild Tuesday and a high of 77, 51 Tuesday night, Wednesday mostly sunny and a touch warmer, a high near 80, Thursday 78 with scattered showers and thunderstorms, and cooler with some possible light rain Friday and a high of 66. Currently in Richland Center Country, our temperature is at 49. We are up now from the overnight low of 45 degrees. Get ready for this year's Richland County Fair, happening September 4th through the 8th. This year's fair is packed with action. Watch the Swine Show Friday morning at 8 a.m., catch the Dairy Show on Saturday, and cheer on the Young Farmers in the Little Riches Showmanship Contest on Sunday. Feel the thrill
as the Southwest Wisconsin Pullers take over the grandstand Friday night at 7. And on Saturday, don't miss the live performance by country music's Ashley Ryan. Show starts at 8 p.m. If you're looking for fun and games, Mr. Ed's Magical Midway opens daily with rides and attractions for the whole family. And on Children's Day Saturday, there's even more fun with a pedal pole and special balloon creations. Save with season gate prices or enjoy daily entry for just $10 for adults and $5 for kids. Special rates apply on Saturday for seniors, military, and first responders. Please attend the Richland County Fair September 4th through the 8th. Oh, the places you'll show. For details, call 608-647-6859. At the Richland County Fair.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights. Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. The forecast for today, sunny and nice, a high of 76. Tonight, clear with patchy fog, a low of 48. Sunny and mild Tuesday and 77 degrees. Here at the WRCO Studios, our temperature is at 47, and it's sports time today. We'll check out some notes courtesy of yesterday in hometown of baseball, the Major League Baseball scene as well, and how that went yesterday, and the Packers game. Well, they may or may not play Friday night. Those details in a moment.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and 3 points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
In sports from yesterday, the hometown baseball season ended with a couple of games. Evansville defeated Sun Prairie 6-2, and Verona captured the title 5-2 over Sauk Prairie in a battle of two unbeaten teams in the tournament. So Verona wins the title for the third year in a row in hometown baseball. The Brewers' five-game winning streak ended Sunday on an infield single in the bottom of the 11th. Santiago Espinal bounced a grounder off Milwaukee reliever and loser Bryce Wilson, scoring the designated runner, and the Reds won 4-3. Willie Adames hit a home run in all four games of the series, including Sunday. Bryce Tarang became the ninth Brewer to steal 40 bases in a season when he swiped second in the fifth. Milwaukee returns home to meet the St. Louis Cardinals with Freddie Peralta getting the start. Elsewhere in baseball, it was the Cubs getting a big win over Washington, 14-1, Miami 7, San Francisco 5, Arizona 14-3 over the Dodgers, Philadelphia 3, Atlanta 2. In the American League, Detroit 4, Boston 1, Houston 7-2 over Kansas City, Minnesota 4, Toronto 3, Texas 6, Oakland 4, the Angels 3-2 over Seattle. Interleague play, Cleveland 6, Pittsburgh 1, the Mets 2-0 over the White Sox, San Diego 4, Tampa Bay 3, St. Louis 14-7 over the Yankees, and Baltimore 6-1 winners against Colorado. Raging wildfires in Brazil are threatening the Packers' 2024 NFL season opener against the Philadelphia Eagles. Brazilian officials say they think the fires were started by criminals. The fires have impacted air quality so severely that the contest could be canceled or possibly moved to Philadelphia. Those fires are still out of control and are said to be threatening people in more than 30 cities. If the game can be played, it would be the second international game in Packers history. Getting ready for the week, Coach Matt LaFleur talked about the possibility of who's going to be the backup to Jordan Love, Willis or Clifford.
Whether you're on the 53 or you're on the practice squad, your job is to prepare as you're the starter. I mean, in reality, that's not always the case, obviously, but I expect every man in that room, if you're wearing a Green Bay Packer uniform, you got to get ready to go play a football game.
And the Badger volleyball team is starting the season in an unfamiliar fashion, losing its first two games. Defending national champion Texas beat Wisconsin Sunday 3-1 in the first round of the State Farm Women's College Volleyball Showcase in Milwaukee's Five Forum. The battle between the top two national programs was intense. There were 16 ties and four lead changes in the first set alone. The Badgers are back in action this afternoon against Stanford, also in Milwaukee. I'm Phil Nee. That's an update on sports.
When I was a young girl, my daddy told me a lesson he learned. It was a long time ago.
Well, you can now see an athlete, if he can score three takedowns in the first period, now instead of maybe being up 9-1 or 9-2 or whatever before, six to two, now he's up 9-2 or 9-1. Yeah. You know, that's a huge difference.
Well,
you
get close to that Tech Fall area, so there's a difference in philosophy again.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it is all, if you read their information, their information, and it was all done with the idea of promoting more pins. In watching collegiate wrestling, I wouldn't necessarily say that it's had that huge of an impact. I think the numbers are kind of close yet, you know, but it is, I believe, only their second year of the near fall situations. But it has made a difference, you know, when you see it happen, you know, and it does. I'll admit it's fun to watch, because now when you see a 4-point near fall, it is kind of cool.
Yeah. Wrestling's meant a lot to you fellows over the years, right? In terms of what would your life be without wrestling, right?
Well, pretty much, that's for sure. You meet so many great people. You build these relationships with folks that they literally do last a lifetime. My good friend, Chuck Rasmussen, I've known him since high school, just like with Kirk. Chuck is a year older than us. But, you know, you think about how all of a sudden it kind of came full circle. We're teaching and coaching together. I got to put a plug in for Kirk. When Chuck and I were fortunate enough with Lancaster winning that state championship with two guys, which was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And coming off the mat with that trophy, the first person that was there to greet me was Kirk.
Mr. Lair.
And I will never, ever forget that. It was just, we gave each other, he goes, your words were, Ken, I am so proud of you. And he gave me the biggest bear hug. I thought I was going to get slammed again. But no, but you know, it's that kind of friendship that stays with you forever. You know, and I'll see people from the northeast or northwest side of the state or down in the Milwaukee area, and they'll say, hey, hi, how, you know, it's just unbelievable what relationships are built.
It's likewise, Kirk. I know you've given a lot to the sport, not only a wrestler, but how many years were you a referee?
Oh, the wrestling, it got up to almost 40, and in football, it was well over 25. So it's like Ken says, you know, it still fathoms both of our wives, you know, that you'll be off even on a vacation somewhere in a southern state, and you'll run into a wrestling person, you know, and it's cool.
It's a big community, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But Ken, you know, certainly you don't do it for the recognition, but you kind of want to talk about that this morning.
Well, yeah, you know, there's a couple things. I have to get this out on my phone here, too. You know, we have, I forgot to tell Kirk about this one, but so we have I call it the old folks, or the old fogies, whatever you want to call it, as retired coaches, and I happen to be the vice president of the Wisconsin George Martin Hall of Fame assistant coaches, retired coaches. There we go. I'll get it spit out. Anyways, Don Hale is the head. He's the president. I'm the vice president. Tom McGarvey is the secretary, and Mel Dow was the treasurer. We have a lot of different things that we try to do, and I get to do something that is so special here today, and I get to congratulate Kirk as one of our newest National Hall of Fame Wisconsin chapter members the 2025 year.
How about it?
I get to give him a hug.
Oh, congratulations. That is awesome. Oh,
I
now
just, I looked over the back of my shoulder.
Here comes some well-wishers, too. Michelle and Josh and Jill. Yeah, your support group. Kirk, did you have a clue that that was happening until you saw these guys?
No, I thought he was going to pimp our good friend Chuck Raspin, who was getting in the Wisconsin Wrestling Hall of Fame this year. But then I happened to glance over to look at him, and I saw my son and daughter standing outside there. Whoa.
Oh, my goodness.
This is pretty exciting.
I have to tell you, thanks to Michelle, because she was the front runner with us getting the letters and everything done up and stuff. We kind of threw it out there. I gave it to her, and like the good halfback, she went running after it. So thank you so much for that. Jill called me one day. I was out and about, you know, saying, hey, where are we at with that? And I said, I have to talk to Michelle.
Well, the other thing was, Ken contacted me a few weeks ago, and I said, can we keep it a secret that long? I don't know. I can't believe somebody didn't squeal somewhere along the line, Kirk.
Well, it makes a lot more things make sense now, because I asked him when we were doing this program this morning. I said, well, wrestling season's quite a long ways away. Are you sure Phil's in his right mind?
Well, the jury's still out on that, I think. But, Kirk, what does this mean? I know this is kind of a shock all of a sudden here.
Well, it's always nice to be recognized by your peers, you know, and it's just one of those things that, you know, well, you just mentioned Jim Allball. I saw that man who always, he was one of my coaches in high school too, and I always thought he was just, you know, rock solid and tough, you know, but when he stood up there that day in front of all of the Wisconsin Association people, and, you know, you could almost see the tears boiling in his eyes from the pride that he had from accepting that award. It's just one of those things that, it's just kind of a little bit of the icing on the cake that somebody really did care that you gave so much to something, and that it meant so much to you, and maybe meant something to them too.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. So can you tell us a little bit about how it's all going to work then in the timeline, Ken?
Yeah, you betcha. I just wanted to say this, though. One of the things that I've always admired with Kirk is, and this is so important for an official, there's the integrity aspect, there's the safety aspect, there's the PR that we talked about. It's those relationships are being built, and I remember and always loved it when Kirk would come on, you know, onto the mat wherever we were at, if I was coaching at Lancaster or at Westby, because A, it's going to be done right, it's going to be done fair, and the kids are going to wrestle. And that's what it's all about. And so I admire Kirk with all my heart, and I mean that sincerely, with all the years that he put in, because that's not an easy job.
No, so, no, it's not.
Yeah. So one of the things that's going to happen is on May 17th and 18th at the Chula Vista in Wisconsin Dells, there's going to be on that Saturday evening, the 17th, is a meet and greet, which is just going to be a ton of fun. All of the other award winners, the Hall of Fame members, are going to be there. Families, friends, hopefully, whoever. And it's just a time to mingle, you know, rub elbows with some of the some of the best in the state, you know, that we get to talk to. And it's just, and Kirk is going to be one of those. And, you know, we'll probably never see him after a while. He'll be talking to everybody, but that's okay. That's what it's there for.
Signing autographs.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Sunday at noon at the Chula Vista is going to be a real nice luncheon, award ceremony following that. And you'll get, you know, I don't know, we'll give him only 2 or 3 minutes because we know he'll take 10. No, I'm but there'll be a chance for all of those recipients to talk about their experience over the course of the years and everything. Michelle and myself and some others, now is the time for us. Now that we let the cat out of the bag, we can start going out, and we're going to look for sponsors to help support Kirk's induction into the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, the Wisconsin chapter. And I will put the plug in now to start things off that anywhere from, you know, if it's $25, if it's $50 or $100, we'd love to get minimally $1,000 worth of sponsorship. That's kind of the goal with things. Kirk will receive a real nice plaque. We're gonna get him a really nice jacket. It's a green jacket. I've got one of those myself. It's so much. You're proud to wear that, you mm-hmm. know, because it is that lifetime achievement. So we've got some things that we get to get after now, I guess.
In the works, yeah. When's the Kirk Layer statue going to be built?
I think that's down the line.
Down the line.
He just mentioned, you know, he's in there and Gary Gutnick's in there. Yeah. So we've got a lot of, and Stan Weigel, I just remember going to his ceremony too long. Yeah. Pete Greg Haiti, Greg Jentz. It's a great honorable thing to get inducted in that, and then Wisconsin Association too. But it just means a lot that your peers recognize you and your fellow athletes recognize you.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah. Well, we wanted to maybe wrap it up here, and then we're going to say a couple words about the boosters.
Yes,
in a moment.
Phil, I just want to thank you for all the help with this. It was a devious plan that Michelle and I put up, you know. But thank you so much for this. It's one of the things we're hoping to do was, if I could have done it any different, Kirk, it would have been to in front of the RC wrestling tournament and let everybody know there. But this to me was even better.
Well,
so
right.
Thank you so much.
Like I said, he's been on the airwaves with us for a long time. So
it means a lot to announce it here. And like you say, between Phil and Ron and
Billy
and Billy Twining, yeah, we got to get him in there. And Mr. Cook too.
David Wormand.
David is he's Mr. Computer. Function. Yeah. I mean, that guy can look up anything on his computer so fast, but this means a lot. And like you say, it's one of those that you kind of chokes you up a little bit, but at the same time makes you extremely proud of your community and your surrounding family members and everybody that helped you get there. That group over there standing in the corner, they sacrificed a lot. And that was the reason I retired when I did, because I said to him, I said, my son's first daughter was going into high school. I said, this is the time. I sacrificed missing your things. I'm not going to miss their things. So I've enjoyed the last 8 years watching all my grandkids do some fantastic stuff. And it just means so much.
Right. And you have one that can jump right over your head if he wants to.
he's still got 1 year left, and watch out for him. And then my roar, she's getting ready to go back to school today at the University of Minnesota. She's got that big 10 medal around her neck, you know, and Wes has got an All-American award. And just so proud of all of them, you know. They just have worked so hard, and it's what you do it for. And neither one of those over there were, what you'd call an average athlete either. They both have their accolades about them. And mm-hmm. I still remember my daughter getting to coach at the state basketball tournament with Mr. Board. And those are fun things. You just, athletics and school functions, I don't know, I just can't say enough about them. I mean, that's like you say, I do want to get a plug in for the Booster Club. But and as long as we, can I transition off to that now?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, you know, like you say, Friday night's our first football game. Coach Andy Troxell and his crew has done a nice job. They are partnering with the Booster Club on Saturday, I think they're calling it Duck Duck Drive or something like that. They're going to work at Fillback Ford there. You take a test drive out, and if you sign up for that test drive, I think he's got it out on the Sports U program, you can get $20 donated to the football program, and then the football players are going to be there all day, so a chance to meet with them. The Booster Club is also going to be there, and we're going to be selling tickets to our annual duck race that usually we get the WRCO to announce that and promote it.
We'll be there,
And actually even call it live there. It's going to be October 4th, right after the homecoming parade in Richland Center, so we'll be selling tickets there as far as the Booster Club. I just can't say enough about the group up there at Richland Center as far as, you know, Laura and her group, you know, the tournaments they're bringing in. Like Ken mentioned earlier, you really have to have a facility. You know, maybe some of the teams in Richland Center haven't been to what some people would like to see, but the fact that we are still hosting some of the best events, Laura was so proud this year that we've pulled in, I believe it's a sectional final volleyball game. If it isn't, it's the semifinal game, but it's even in our own division. So if our school, which is very well known for volleyball, gets there, we'll see them have a home game, you know, and we've got at least two basketball tournaments again this year, a super regional. And as we mentioned, the other big change in wrestling, we're not going to get into all the rule changes, but we got to most of them. The other big change in wrestling this year is we have a women's regional and a women's, we'll call it super regional, and then we're also going to have a women's sectional, and then we're going to have a women's state like we've been having the last couple of years. Last year, we just had a women's sectional and then women's state. And Richland Center was fortunate. They're going to be a host for